This is another edition of The More Abundant Life. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm your host for The More Abundant Life, and it is my privilege to welcome you to our program today. The More Abundant Life is a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Wintley Phipps. Today, the message that Pastor Phipps has chosen to present to us is, or centers around, the subject of reverence. I hope that you will stay tuned to our program today. Just before the message begins, we do have a song that I'm sure you're going to enjoy. It's a song by Pastor Wintley Phipps entitled, Always.
Just seems your world is falling all around. No need to fear, I'll still be there to love you when your friends are gone. Just seems like you've been fighting all alone. I'll dry the tear, I'll still be there to love you, even though sometimes.
Thank you, Lord. God had plucked Moses out of his earthly school, placed him in the school of duty and purpose. And isn't it something how the Lord always disciplines those he loves and plans to use? And no discipline, says the Bible, seems pleasant at the time you're going through it. But later on, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. Well, God led Moses into the desert. Moses was becoming a better person for it. You see, there are some lessons in life that you can't learn by reading textbooks. You can't learn it sitting at the feet of professors. Everyone with a degree isn't wise. And I do not speak pejoratively of higher education. I only wish to exalt and hold before you this word from the Lord, that in all thy getting, get wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing, says the Bible. Over the past few weeks and months and years, we've seen how so many of our brilliant, educated leaders can do dumb things. Everyone with a degree isn't wise. This day, Moses found himself on the backside of a desert hill, removed, far removed from the lap of luxury into which he was coddled and cradled. And that day started out like any other day. He called his sheep, rounded them up, led them to fresh pasture in the Sinai Peninsula. That day it was extremely hot. Suddenly something caught his eye. Before his eyes, Moses beheld what seemed like an unusual phenomenon. He saw a scrubby-looking thorn bush engulfed in flames. It had been known to happen before. Bushes often catch fire in the intense noonday desert heat, but this fire wouldn't burn itself out in a few minutes, leaving only a pile of ashes. The Bible tells us that this bush burned, but it would not be consumed. Moses said to himself, let me go over here, see why this bush isn't burning up. And as he approached the bush, a voice from within the flame spoke his name. At first, Moses may have thought that the heat was playing tricks on his mind, but Moses realized that it was God who was speaking to him. God was doing more than just tapping Moses on the shoulder. God was about to teach Moses one of the most important lessons in life. Moses took a step towards the burning bush when the voice spoke again out of the flame. Stop! Don't come any closer. Take off your shoes, because the place where you stand is holy ground. Moses' heart began to tremble. His knees gave way in fear and trembling. He covered his face. God invited Moses, church, to draw nearer, not to satisfy his curiosity, but to prick his conscience. Moses was blessed because when he saw the burning bush, the Bible says he turned aside to see it. Many of us would have missed the burning bush because we're just so busy on our schedules. Come on, tell the truth. If you were walking in the country and saw a burning bush, would you go to check it out? Some other pressing appointment would have kept you on your schedule. Sometimes to know God's will and his purpose for your life, you got to turn aside. You have to unshackle yourself from the demands of everyday life. You got to go off the beaten path. You got to lay down for 5 minutes and look at the clouds. You got to stop. And you got to remember that praying is not just about talking, it's about listening too. I'm sure that God, when we kneel down to pray, he wonders, when am I going to get my turn? Because we just talk when we pray. Are you with me today? We don't turn aside and wait on the Lord and listen to what he has to say to our hearts. We're too busy talking to hear what God has to say when we pray. When God saw that Moses turned aside, God called out to Moses. And when you turn aside, God will speak to you too. Moses drew closer when God called his name, but when Moses got a little too close, when he got a little too familiar, God said, stop right where you are. Don't come any closer. Don't move. Take off your shoes. Moses, I am holy. Wherever I am is holy. Take off your shoes. You can come boldly to the throne, but mind how you come. You must always remember, church, God is your friend, but he's not on your level. He may be your companion, but he expects more of you. He expects honor from you. He expects reverence from you. I've come today to speak to you on a word we do not often hear anything about, And it is a word called reverence. This word reverence, it is almost a forgotten word in our modern day parlance and language, but it is a very important word. It is a word that is essential to our faith development and our salvation. To show reverence to something means to offer it fear or respect or honor or worship. To show reverence is not always worship, but before you can worship, you must always have reverence. In other words, you can have reverence for the institution of marriage, but you don't worship it. Are you with me today? You must have reverence in the house of God, but you, before you have worship, you must have reverence. Amen. Reverence is not about form and ceremony. It is about the posture of the heart. The Chinese have a proverb, even lambs kneel when they nurse. We must understand that our heads and hearts must bow before the God who watches over us, provides for us. What is reverence? One writer said that reverence is the recognition of superiority in another. We feel reverence for all that is sacred because it is essentially, morally, implicitly superior to everything we are. Amen. So we stand in the presence of God with awe, with awe of his holiness, and we stand in reverence because he is so superior to everything that we are. It is the feeling of awe in the presence of what is great, what is august, what is sublime. Reverence is the feeling of awe in the presence of something that towers above us, that we must prostrate ourselves before it. Reverence is the doorway that leads to worship. You cannot worship what you do not reverence. You should show reverence to all that is noble and good, yes, but most of all, we must always show reverence to God. Amen. To show reverence to God, you gotta respect him, you gotta worship him, you gotta keep his commandments. Reverence is the first basic step in life. If you lose reverence, you lose all of your spirituality. You cannot be a spiritual person if you don't understand the power and meaning of reverence. Reverence is the beginning of faith. It is a sign of strength and wisdom. Irreverence, on the other hand, is a sign of weakness. You got to watch what you say. The jokes that you tell, the language that you use, you will never rise in the sight of God if you mock and make fun of things sacred. Reverence is a basic principle in the heart of God's children. It is a right attitude towards God. Reverence for God is inspired by a sense of his greatness. The Bible says in Psalm 111:9, holy and reverend is his name. Did you know that angels, when they speak his name, veil their faces? Reverence. We who are sin-filled human beings, when we whisper the name of Christ, we must whisper it with reverence. We must teach our children the meaning of reverence. The servant of the Lord says, let children be shown that true reverence is revealed by obedience. A child cannot learn reverence if a child isn't taught to obey. God has commanded, she says, nothing that is unimportant or unessential. And there is no other way of manifesting reverence, says Ellen White, so pleasing to God as by obedience to that which he has spoken. You can't call yourself a person of reverence to God, that gives reverence to God, when you won't obey his commands. She says children should be taught that the worship service is sacred because God is there. Amen. And as reverence is manifested in their, listen to this, listen. She says, as reverence is manifested in your children's attitude and demeanor, the feeling that inspires reverence will be deepened in their hearts. Once a young boy complained to his father that most of the church hymns were boring and old-fashioned with tiresome tunes, words that meant little bit. His father challenged him with these words, "If you think you can write better hymns, why don't you?"
All right. Yes, sir.
The boy accepted the challenge, went to his room, wrote his first hymn. The year was 1690. And so many of the hymns in the hymn book that you see and sing from were written by Isaac Watts. He's wrote more than 350 hymns. Reverence church is indispensable to the happiness of individuals, of families, of nations, said one writer. Without it, there can be no trust, no faith, no confidence, either in man or in God. We are in trouble as a society because we have lost the meaning of reverence. We have reverence for nothing. Are you with me today? You turn on the television. You listen to the late night jokesters. We have reverence for nothing. The problem with our world today is that men and women have lost the understanding of the importance of reverence. And reverence is awakened in us by that which transcends us. It is awakened in us by coming face to face with that which we can't understand and grasp, that we again are awed by. We feel humbled before it. It uplifts us. When the philosopher Ruskin was addressing the students of Oxford, he ended one of his lectures with these words. He said, "This I know, that in reverence is the chief joy and power of life. Reverence for what is pure and bright in your own youth, for what is true and tried in the age of others. Reverence is what keeps us from immoral conduct." Reverence. We don't understand how important this word is to our Christian experience. It is what keeps you from defiling a young lady's body. Because you have reverence for what God has created. Amen. It is what keeps you from stuffing things up your nose. Amen. It's because you have reverence for what God has created. Yes. Cleanness of body was deemed to proceed from a true reverence to God. That was Sir Francis Bacon. One great man said, a man who bows down to nothing can never bear the burden of himself. When you don't have reverence for anything, you can't even stand yourself. You can't bear the burden of what you become when you don't have reverence. Reverence should not be a thing that passes, that comes and goes. It ought to be a habit of your life. Part of your life that regulates your conduct. And that's what God was trying to teach Moses when he said, "Take off your shoes. Don't come any closer." You see, in Bible times, taking off the shoes was like, you know what they used to do in the old days when they tipped their hat? It was a sign of respect. When I take my hat off, it is a sign from my heart to God of respect. In other words, when we gather to pray, if I'm ever in a place where I have my hat on and someone says, "Let's pray," I take it off. I take it off. I don't take it off because the world says take it off. I take it off as a sign of honor and deference and respect to God. It is not just etiquette for me. It's a sign of reverence. Moses, take off your shoes, show some respect. You're on holy ground. We must teach our children to respect God's house, not because of the building, But because this is where God meets with us. If you have your Bibles in the book of Joshua, chapter 5, verse 13. What book did I say? Joshua, chapter 5, verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said to him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose your shoe from off your feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. When God told his people to take off their shoes, he was teaching them that shoes are defiled by contact with the ground and it is contaminated. Taking off the shoes was symbolic of removing sin and uncleanliness. You got to teach children symbolically. They've got to act differently when they come into the house of God. Amen. You got to teach children that they are to take off their shoes. You got to teach children, this is not your playroom. This is not a place for running and playing tag. This is a place where you come to meet God, to honor God, to worship God, to hear from God. It's God's house, not your house. So watch what you say. Watch how you think. Young man, so she looks good today. Watch how you think. Watch what you say. This is not a gym. It's not a social club. It's holy ground. Parents, when you are fellowshipping with your friends in church after the service, always ask yourself, do you know where your kids are? If we do not teach them reverence, they will never grow up to be saints of God. Servant of God says, listen to this. She says, a child that leaves school bearing or carrying with him the spirit of reverence for what is worthy of reverence is a child that is not far from the kingdom of heaven. Woo! You teach your child reverence, and that child will be a child that is not far from the kingdom of heaven. So when you come to church, you're mighty quiet. I know you're listening. Because I know I don't often hear a message on reverence. And perhaps you can't remember the last time you heard one. But I might step on some toes for a minute. When you come to church, don't dress like you're going to Kmart. Don't dress like you're going to Walmart. You coming to see Jesus. When you come into church, don't dress like you're going to Target. I heard one preacher say once, church is not a fashion show, but neither is it a rag party. Rags are not proper unless that's all you got. In Exodus and Leviticus, did you know that God used to give the priests strict instructions about the garments they were to wear in the holy place? They had to wear undergarments so as not to be indecent before the Lord. And in accordance with their office, a special dress was appointed for the priests. Thou shalt make holy garments, says the Bible, for Aaron, thy brother, for glory and for beauty. Did you hear that? They were asked to make special garments for glory and for beauty. So don't come to church dressed anyhow. This was the divine direction to Moses. The robe of the common priest was of white linen, woven in one piece. It extended nearly to the feet. It was confined about the waist by a white linen girdle embroidered in blue and purple and red. A linen turban or mitre completed the outer costume. Moses at the burning bush was directed to put off his sandals, for the ground where he stood was holy, and so the priests as well. They were not to, listen to me, they were dressed for glory and beauty, but they were not to come into the temple with anything on their feet. They were dressed up, but they had to take off their shoes. Thus was constantly taught the lesson that all defilement must be put away from those who want to approach the presence of God. Well, I told you I might step on some toes. Improper, revealing, suggestive clothing is irreverent in the house of God. Some people take the joy of the Lord a little too far. Are you with me today? And by the way, when you go to a church, the music ought to be different.
Amen.
It ought not sound like what you were jamming to all week. Amen, amen somebody.
Amen.
I said some people take the joy of the Lord a little too far. Church service is not party time. We ought to be joyful, but it is to be a holy joy. You ought to be feeling like you need to take your shoes off. You know, the Lord has been putting this message on my heart for a couple of weeks now. And I'm not sure I could tell you exactly all of the reasons why. But I can tell you this. Your life and where you spend eternity will be shaped by what you hold in reverence.
Well, that ends our message for today. If you would like to obtain a copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. And remember to ask for program number 206. Until next time, I hope that you will remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life."
Senor.